Lexi, I'll get that right.
That's okay.
At least the end of this class.
That's okay.
How are you, sir?
Good, how are you? Still short and ugly, but I'm doing okay.
I had an older guy in my office. My boss said, hey, Philip, what are you up to? He said, oh, you know, 5'7". I cannot wait for somebody to ask me. I laughed way too hard. As you can tell, I enjoyed it.
Okay, camp two.
No.
That's good stuff.
Oh, man. Where's everybody at?
All right, gang. I'm really sure about the thing works. It's like one of those transformers, you know, that turns into something else.
Matt, Nathan, what are they good for?
Well, hi, gang. Welcome back. Yes, I'm Nate Holton tonight. Sorry about that. Got a call from Nate. He is out of state. A few minutes ago, got a call from Matt. He's not going to be here either. So, yeah, sorry. You have to look at the pink machine to deal with it. Let's have a prayer for you. Nick, would you mind?
Absolutely. Our Father in Heaven, we come for you another time to look into your word and to ask you to help guide us in that, Lord. Help us to look at portion of your word that will edify us, to bring us closer to you and bring us closer to one another, Lord. We ask that you bless this time that we have together. Help us to grow closer as brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us, most importantly, Lord, to delve into your word and understand your mind more and understand who you are. We thank you so much for the pattern you have set before us, especially the one that your son has. We thank you for his life. We thank you for his sacrifice. It is through his name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.
All right, gang. So, turn if you would to Acts chapter 4. We're going to get to that in just a few minutes. If you got your Bibles with you, and I hope you do. Let's talk about the summit for just a minute. Somebody, tell me about the summit. How was it?
Was it good?
Was it great?
I thought it was really good.
Okay. Tell me, what was good?
The lessons.
So it was
very applicable.
Philip Shoemake and
Eric Borlaug.
Eric. I have known of Philip a little bit through some mutual, y'all learned this. One time I went to Florida. Yeah, good with y'all, my old. This is Nate's fault, because he should be here telling his stories. One time my wife and I went to a church in Florida, and we knew we were going to be away on vacation. We went ahead, looked up church. We get there on Saturday afternoon. We go find the church. We get there on Sunday morning. There's nobody there. Apparently they built a new building somewhere and they didn't leave any signs up where they moved to, and they hadn't updated their internet thing. Yeah, that's a tough situation. So we're scrambling around. My wife is the Terminator on finding things on Google and all kind of stuff. So she found this other church, and it's only so many miles away, so we zip over there real quick, and we are just this much late. And the door's open. We open the door. There are 17 total people there. Guess where the guy teaching the class was from? Bowling Green, Kentucky. What are the chances? We grew up with this guy. And that's kind of the thing. So I know Philip through some of those kind of ties. Eric didn't know him at all. But it was kind of neat to listen to some of the lessons. No joke, what was good about it? I know the lessons were good. What else did they have activities and food and all that kind of good stuff? Everybody get to? Y'all don't look any heavier.
Was it like a sermon type thing recorded, or was it like breakout sessions and classes?
On Saturday it was like a lesson and a singing.
Was it pretty well attended? I mean, I had to be out of town, so.
Friday night was, but Saturday, one of the girls, like the RH college students, one of the girls got married, so. Yeah. Most of the people who were there Friday night were gone to the wedding. So.
Come on, man. What she say?
I'll take the whole crowd with me.
You know, I don't believe in being fair. What could we have done better? Because, you know, we're probably going to continue this. We want to make it better. What could we have done better? Because I've got something in mind that I think the speakers were phenomenal. I pulled up their sermons and their lessons, and I listened to them. And man, I don't know if it inspired anybody else, but it sure did me. I couldn't wait to get back here and start teaching and all this kind of good stuff. But that part of it seemed good to me. But there was one thing that I didn't think we did well enough. I didn't think we got the word out as well as we could have. Because I ran into some friends from another congregation. I said, hey, y'all got anybody coming to our summit? Hilltop Summit? And they're like, what are you talking about? And I felt like we could have done a little bit better on that. So
I don't have any friends here.
That's a problem, man.
I think
that sounds like a personal hygiene problem to me. No.
Keeps lifting his arms next to me, you know.
Yeah, I know, you're right. There's a form for him. But there are times like this. In our own little group, we're back down to our little group here, that I'd love to know, what could we have done better? And that's not being critical of anybody that helped put this on, but what would you like to have seen them? The topics, were the topics good, relative, archaic? What? Any thoughts?
I didn't get to go.
We didn't either.
No thoughts.
Ian, were you working that weekend? Or?
You just didn't get to go.
Well, first of all, let me tell you, I thought it was a tough weekend to have it. Now, I'm an ancient dinosaur, so, you know, it doesn't count. This wasn't for me. But the reason I thought that was kind of a tough weekend is this was the first full weekend that Western students were back in. My word, I can remember even back in my day, the first weekend after we moved in, there were so many mind-blowing things going on related to our classes and housing, and that was a bad time for it. You know, let's get settled in for 30 days. Matter of fact, I think the last weekend of September or the first weekend of October would be great.
I was just going to say, I didn't get to go, but I was getting ready to say something along those lines. Speaking from experience, like going to college and like even if it's not your first year, like that first week is exhausting. You forget things like when you're getting there and getting prepped, or professors have added things that, you know, you've got to do this, and this, or get this, and this. And so it's a busy, exhausting week. And like you said, that first month even is full of adjustments and figuring out, especially if you're in a new location, figuring all of that out in general would be my top priority.
Tell you a funny story. First time I ever took my daughter to college, we had thought of it all. We had notebooks with lists. And the list that told us what was on the list, we were so prepared. You know what we forgot? We didn't have but one or two outlets in that. It was an older dorm there at FC. And I can remember spending 4 hours looking for a multi-plug power outlet. Why? Because USF was coming back. Florida College was coming back. There was a junior college there coming back. My word, they had nothing. It looked like a hurricane was coming in, and they cleaned all the shelves off. So, yes, that would be my suggestion. Great. The speakers were awesome. The topics were great. Let's kick it back a notch or two. Let everybody get settled in first. Because you know what? Some of the Western students that are coming in, that are going to settle in, may not even yet decided, are they going to be at West End? Are they going to be at East Side? Are they going to be at Wall Street? Where are we going to be? And I think that would be a good suggestion. All right. But I do want to talk to you about something. I listened to as many of the lessons as I could while I was painting. And Philip had a lesson. I think this one may have been from Sunday morning. And we're going to pick that up and finish it tonight. Sorry. He talked a little bit about culture, modernism, and Christians. Now, do y'all remember that lesson? Do you remember that one? Okay. What did he talk about 5 different times in his opening comment? Come on. He talked about foundation. And I was standing there, I was painting, and he said something about foundation. I stopped. He said it again and again and again, 5 different times. And I'm thinking, how cool is this? He got our notes. Well, no, that's not what happened. But I think it was neat that he talked in that lesson about something that Nate and I have been dying to get into this class, and we're going to talk about it tonight. We're going to talk about culture. So turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 4. I'm going to talk to you about 3 different places, 3 different cultures. You know, this is that scene where some 3,000 souls have just been added to the work. And if you turn to verse 32 there, I got to get under a light. Y'all think this is hard to read, you just ought to have bad eyes. It says, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands, houses, sold them and brought them the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. Okay, so we're talking about a culture here. And this, if you could just say, is there an ideal culture out there? Man, you'd have to point to something like this and say, okay, these are new Christians, and they got it, didn't they? They understood, look, it's not about me individual. This is about us. This is about all of us. I don't want to just go to heaven. I want to take everybody here with me. So the physical things of this earth, they're temporary. They put their vision on the long term. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 17. We'll talk about another culture. Now, Paul is traveling around doing his preaching thing, and he comes to Athens. I'm not sure I'm seeing that right. Okay, verse 16 says, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him, where he saw that the city was given over to idols. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. If you go on down to verse 22, it says, and Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I passed through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. And he goes on to say, this is the God that I'm proclaiming to you. Now, why am I reading this about Athens? What was the culture like in Athens? Okay, because it says there that he perceived in all things they were very religious. But was it the right kind of religion? No, we're going to talk about that. Flip over, if you would, to Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 5. Man, I'm going to have somebody else read. There is such a bad glare here. Oh, well, there's no light above me. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 and 2. Somebody want to read that?
It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife, and you are puffed up and have not rather mourn that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you.
Okay, this is a third type of culture here. What was Corinth like? Y'all studied this before. Corinth was a big seaport, kind of a collective gathering place, wasn't it? And there were people in Corinth from everywhere. But there were Jews, there were Gentiles, there were believing Christians, but far and away, what was the predominant religion and culture of this place? It was idol worship or temple worship, where they had everything you could imagine in those temples. But what was going on within the church? Because Paul's writing this letter to this local congregation, and he says, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, such as not even named among the Gentiles. So even these Gentiles who have temples that are full of prostitutes, they don't even do what you guys are allowing in this congregation. So, three different cultures there, three different attitudes about life. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. Culture. So what is culture? Anybody thought about it? See, I'm ahead of y'all. I got to look it up. Y'all didn't get this. What would Webster define culture? Tell you what. Please, somebody, when you think about culture, what do you think about? What is culture?
Things that are traditional that make up a group of people.
Man, very well said. Absolutely. Webster defined it as the characteristics, knowledge of a particular group of people that encompasses everything from language to religion, to cuisine, to social habits, music, or arts. So it's kind of the big soup of a community. Now, how many of y'all grew up in the country? Because I did. We were 14 miles from the nearest town. How far were you?
Oh, I think the whole town was considered. I don't think it.
Well, I grew up, well, I know this is true. When you go to Glasgow, when you drive east and you pass Glasgow, you fall off the end of the earth. That's true. But there are little communities beyond that, because that's where I grew up. A little place called Tompkinsville. Okay, Tompkinsville had its own little culture. Burksville, where we had to go to high school, that little town had its own little culture. And we knew that as 15-year-old teenagers, we could tell. There's just a difference between all these little towns. Edmonton, where my mom grew up, it had its own little culture. And there were certain things about each one of those little communities that made each one of them different. So, what does all that have to do with us, foundations and Christians and all that? Well, different cultures can influence or affect us. If I were to say to you, popular culture, would that mean anything different than culture? Maybe a little bit. So let's talk just a minute about popular. Now, Philip used a different word. Do you remember what he used? He used the word modern culture. All right, so if you're talking today about the popular or modern culture of our country, what's the hot topics right now? What's hot?
Abortion.
Yep, that was one of them on the list. That wasn't my first one, but yep, that was on the list. Has been since the 60s or 70s. What do you think was, if you were talking about the culture of our country today, what do you think the number one thing on it is? And I'm going to get these letters wrong. L, G, B, T, and I think there's a Q in there. Yeah, that was number one on the list. Now, what some of that stands for? True story. I know y'all are in the woke culture. cultures. I had to look that up too, by the way. I didn't know what that meant. Woke, I guess, means that, and when I say generalities like this, I'm going to use me as an 18-year-old. When I was 18 years old, my mom and dad weren't very smart. Matter of fact, they were pretty backward. They had no clue what was going on, and they were hopeless. Funny thing is, somewhere around 24, 25, all of a sudden, mom and dad looking pretty smart. They knew a little bit more than I thought they knew, and they understood a lot more about things than I thought they knew. But when I was 18, there was no word for it, but my generation knew it and understood it. Their generation had no clue. Well, there is a term for that now, and society kind of calls that the woke generation. In other words, this generation knows more than the generations before it, and they kind of coined that or phrase or termed that phrase. Yeah, all that's going to come into play. But getting back to this right here, the topics, the modern culture are hot. What else is there out there? And this is kind of the same thing. It falls under the same thing. Homosexuality, same-sex marriage, that kind of thing, is going to fall under the same thing.
But that, I know racism has always been around, but
number two,
it's still like everything that's been in our history books are just coming up all on one thing.
That was number two on the list of things that this culture, today's culture, is concerned about. There was another one.
Mental health.
You said that.
Had to be on there. Yeah, I did. I got an email about it to work today asking if my mental health was okay.
Okay. So, I can't believe you said that. Because I read this whole list, and I sat there, I see that. Yep. I got to the one that said mental health. I'm like, I don't get it. Why is that on the list? But it is. There was another one right in front of that. Equality. And we're talking about equality of sexes. By the way, I'm not into politics. I don't like politics. But I did hear this. Did you all hear that in the last $1 trillion budget package that was passed, $44 million of that $1 trillion was a grant to the country of Pakistan for the study of gender equity? What? They don't know if they're boys or girls over there? They got to study that sort of a thing?
They don't want them to know.
Somebody is owed Pakistan a favor. That, yes. Did anybody hear anything in the news about this regarding birth certificates this past week? You might hear this?
About the doctors. What is it?
The doctor can no longer assign a sex to a child. In other words, your birth certificate is no longer going to say you're male or you're female. You're an it. That is legislation that is now proposed and will be voted on. And I think they're probably going to pass it. The other big one was, and they broke it out separate, was transgender identity. But some of that fell under the mental health. All right, so what on earth does all this have to do with foundations and us and surviving to the end and all that kind of stuff? Well, who gets to decide this kind of stuff in a popular culture or a modern culture? Who decides what the norm is in those cultures?
Whoever's the loudest.
Yeah, it's what it seems like. Sometimes the people that are protesting, that are screaming, that are going to court to fight certain things, the squeaky wheel is going to get the oil, isn't it? The most popular. And especially if it's an election year, those that are running for office are going to cater to people that support these kind of things, because you know what? We should, right? What does that have to do with us as Christians? How can things like this affect what we believe, what we do, how we act?
I find it surprising among young Christians. I find myself doing this, but we are so oblivious to the effect we have on people. Generally, ages 16 to about 30, those people have a serious, serious effect on how culture is going to be perceived, you know, in the next 10, 15, 20 years. So when I, you know, go out and do something and somebody sees that, or a group of people see it, or I'm saying something that a group of people is hearing, that's going to have an effect on, you know, it's kind of a ripple on culture and what's going on around us. So the fact that we can't have more of an effect in the age group that we're in, it's kind of a shame, really.
Did you read my notes? Because that's what that is right there. Yes, that's an excellent point. Go back to 1776 in our country. What was the culture like here? Okay, why were there even people here? Because they wanted freedom to worship instead of being under the thumb of the rule of the Church of England. The driving force to get here was so we can worship as we're supposed to. Now, there's some debate about that, you know, as far as what we would consider correct worship, but that was the driving force. So the opening culture of our forefathers was built around spirituality, wasn't it? Okay. What was the culture like about 1850? What was the culture like by 1950? And then what's it changed to by 2021? And let me ask it to you this way. Who in an open room full of people in 1850 would have said the word homosexual? Absolutely no one. Right?
Not unless it was an accusation.
Yeah. I mean, they were still burning witches at that time, or perceived witches and that kind of thing. Okay. What's kind of significant about the era from, say, 1950 to 1960? Well, TV came on in that era. Yeah, it had a little bit before that, but that's when TV sort of went. And now every home started to get a TV. Saw on the news this week, do you know what year they first showed they call it a vanity, but they're talking about a commode. What year did they first show a commode on TV, and what show was it on? It was 1953. Anybody ever hear of a show called Leave It to Beaver? It was on Leave It to Beaver. And the reason that came up is it was kind of interesting. Tony Dow, who played Wally, the older brother, he is super sick right now with COVID. And they were reminiscing about his roles, and they said, but he never could break out of that role. And they said, well, he was part of the first scene where a commode was actually shown on TV. And that was a big deal. And then we talked, I think, last Wednesday night about I Love Lucy. And that was the first scene where Lucy and Desi, they started the show with them in separate beds, but they actually showed the beds scooted together in that show, and that was one of the very first shows. Okay, flash forward to 2021. Does anything shock you guys? Really? I'm serious. And this is what we're talking about. Nothing wears on us anymore as Christians. We used to, I use this term in talking about this, that sometimes when preachers were up when I was a kid, and they were really, I mean, I've been out in the days when preachers hit the pulpit hard to get your attention, I guess. and they were preaching against sin, it wasn't uncommon for a good portion of the congregation to shout amen. If it was something that they were preaching against, a sin that happened to be in that community or whatever. Well, now, I can't even remember the last time I heard a really boisterous amen to about anything. Well, I'll tell you who it was. Jerry Nolan, one of our members here, shouted amen to something one Sunday morning. And I thought about giving him an amen. That culture is changing. Some of it is. There's nothing that shocks us anymore. And I blame a lot of that on TV. But what has changed from my generation, which I'm going to cheat here and say mine was like the 1980s. Okay, so it was a little before that. But the 1980s, what was the biggest influence on our culture during that day? TV. Back here in 1950 to 60, it was radio and print media. What's different here?
Internet.
Yeah, social media. Social media. Before here, when radio, and we had print media and that kind of thing to help get information out, some of the most important people in our country were those that owned the newspapers, because they controlled the thought processes of our country. And they could splash a headline across the Wall Street Journal, send it out across the country, and they could influence Christians, non-Christians. They could influence Catholics as well as atheists.
That's the same thing now, though.
It is.
Not really. Well, I mean, not with newspapers anyway. Not with the news.
Right. It's more here.
You don't think the people that own the news companies are the ones that are in control of predicting what you would think? Or?
I'm not saying that they're in control of predicting what you think. I'm saying I'm pretty sure a majority of people don't really, like, I mean, the trust in news is all-time low. And probably it was always at an all-time low. But I'm just saying, I was going to follow up by saying personalities on social media are now the big influencers.
Yes, I can agree with that.
I hope I don't offend anybody when I say this, because I don't really understand this one as much. I'm not on, what are some of the things? TikTok?
Instagram?
Yeah. What was it? I had a talk on Wednesday night, and I started the talk out by saying, I'm not much of a social media guru. I said, if I've tweeted you, I'm sorry. I don't have any kind of Instagram or whatever. I don't even know somebody chirping or
tweeting. Twitter.
Tweet.
Twitter.
Yeah. If I Twittered, I did it by accident because I don't even know what that is. Instagram. I keep asking my wife, okay, what's the difference between this and this? And she says, what's the number of words you can get in? I'm like, okay, why do we have two different ones? And she says, well, it's faster. You can do less words. It's more concise. You get it. Really? It's faster than texting? Or it's faster than... Well, what? By the way, anybody in here have an app called Swipe? Okay, swiping's like this. You got a whole board of let's get the keyboard. But instead of typing the letters, you just swipe. And the app reads what the most likely word is, and it types it for you. It's fast, because my wife and daughter can send stuff to me, but I can't even respond to the first one before I get 16 more. Fine, I'll just hit dial. Like, I'm lost. I'm 16 messages behind. Where are we headed with all this?
Well, we've come through the print media, radio, TV. That's who's helping set the culture for each one of these stages. Today, that's moved over here to social media. I see a difference from my perspective. I'm old. I'm the old dirt. I can say these kind of things.
in the days of print media, even in the days of TV, in the days of radio, because I was a broadcasting major at Western for 1 week. And then I decided that ain't for me because I sounded way too country on the air. But I did get an appreciation for who's in that. And those people were professionals. Now, they can be influenced because the news director of Channel 13, matter of fact, the station manager, is a friend of mine. And I just asked him one time, I said, who dictates what news you put on the air? Kind of like we were talking about having confidence in the news, who's putting it out, and that kind of thing. And he thought about it for a minute and he said, you know, that's changed through the years. He said, we used to get fed that, what we were going to disseminate to the public from news feeds, major network news feeds. And he said, but today, he said, you've got a lot of influences that we didn't have back then, because if we don't put the news out, social media will. And here was what he thought the danger of that was. A lot of your social media stars, or those that have the most followers, have absolutely no qualification whatsoever to comment on anything. I can remember a broadcaster on TV one time asked an athlete, he's got a microphone, he says, tell me what you think about, and he asked a question to this athlete about a hot political topic and stuck that microphone in front of him, and that guy blabbered about nothingness for 5 minutes. He had absolutely no qualification to answer a question about what should the United States be doing politically in this agenda. And I thought, but now we are in a generation that are listening to athletes, social media stars, and I don't even know what all that means necessarily. Why does all that have anything to do with us?
Because, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, I guess you say it can matter, but at the end of the day, you can slap whatever name on the church building you want. And I don't know who told me this about Mark Pape, I believe is his name. And he was talking about when you sit down with somebody to study the Bible, you have to agree that this is the truth. You know, yes. This is what you have to go by. So, I mean, it doesn't matter what's going on around you, if you have a good foundation and if you have a good faith, no matter what you want, what name, well, like I said, slap on the front door, there's an answer for it. And not only is there an answer, but you should know that it's okay, because everything that's on that board, nothing's new. I mean, I mean, the Romans, they were aborting babies. I mean, if it wasn't perfect, they were throwing them off a cliff. I mean, there's no...
sacrifice.
It's just the truth. I mean, it is. Yep. So we just do it in a medical room instead. So
Clayton, I'm going to tell you, that wasn't the answer I had in mind, but that probably was a better answer than I did have in mind. Here was where I was headed with all this. Here was where I was headed with all this. Whether we realize it or not, our culture around us can affect how we think about things, and we can become jaded or dull to a lot of noise. For instance, back in 1850, if you'd have mentioned the word abortion, everybody would have been run holding in their ears. Well, our culture today, we hear about it weekly, monthly. We don't have that reaction anymore. Is it still as bad as it was then? Well, absolutely. Some of these things. Having an alternative lifestyle. Men marrying men, women marrying women. I can remember the first time I ever heard of a guy kissing another guy. I was like, don't even say that. Flash forward 40 years or so. And even us as Christians, even me, I have to retell myself, this is wrong. This is wrong. And I told y'all the story last Wednesday, I think, about the guy I work for is a member of the Church of Christ. it's a lot more progressive out there church than we are here at West End. But they don't think anything about visiting other churches. And they visited a church in downtown Bowling Green for a Christmas play, a Christmas theater. And he said, we're sitting there, and there's a guy sitting in front of us, and this other guy comes in, and he said, I've seen romantic kisses before. I've never seen anything like what they just did. And he said, my brother-in-law, who goes to that church, I looked over at him and said, and his answer was, oh yeah, this one's one of our deacons here. And the thought went through my head, okay, that's pretty shocking to me. How long will it be if this culture has its way where that is not abnormal, that is the norm? And how many of us, if we're not paying attention to these things, are going to become jaded to that where it no longer shocks us, it no longer has any effect on us? Our society is dictating what we think about things rather than Scripture.
I mean, that goes back to Hebrews 10, though, when it talks about, I believe it's Hebrews 10, that talks about attendance and being here and studying your Bible. In 2 Timothy, studying it to not be caught off guard, because, I mean, if you're in your Bible, I mean, you remember these things. I mean, you remember the wrong. You don't get used to it. Because, I mean, eventually you will.
Yep. Absolutely. I wrote this note to myself to end the class on this. Each of you will likely face what I would consider to be a hostile reaction at some point in time in your life, because you believe in God, you believe in Christ, you believe in the Bible. That reaction is going to be there because this culture, this prevailing culture, disagrees with what this book says. But I go back to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created everything. John 1, first few verses there. In fact, turn over there. There's a reason I wonder if he is. John, first chapter, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. So Christ was there from the beginning. This culture that we live in now disagrees with that. Let me ask you this. Given what we're talking about here, have you thought about making a list of some of the things that you're likely to be facing? And then come up, because you get asked about some of these things. Why do y'all not believe in same-sex marriages? Why do y'all not believe that women can be your priests or your elders? Or why do you not practice those things? Why do you guys not believe in drinking? Why do you guys condemn divorce for just any reason? Or remarriages? Have you thought about making a list of some of those things and actually go find scripture that tells you how we are supposed to think about those things? Because that's one of the things that I carry in the front here, is some of the things that I have questions or I think I may get asked about someday, I made notes, and then I stuck it in the front of my Bible. And there's been a couple of times when something would come up, I'd be like, and I'd turn here and grab it. Pretty cool to have. That's just one suggestion. And it is highly likely, even among our group here at West End, that there may be some differing views on some of these things because our modern popular culture has affected how some of us think about these things. Our point is this. Our God needs to be just this. I don't need to listen to the noise around me about what Oprah or a Kardashian or whoever tells me what I'm supposed to think about something. And I'll go even one step further. There is a preacher of the largest church in Texas. I think his name